Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode are Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
And Jenny.
Hi.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda. I didn't say hi to Jenny. Hi, Jenny. Hi, Amanda. It's fine.
You said hi, Jenny.
I didn't. I just said Jenny's name. I didn't say hi.
Yeah, it's fine.
The hi was implied.
And Linda's taking the evening off.
That was so funny. I still can, like, I was giggling about it the past, like, 2 days. Like, anytime, like, the group chat popped up, I was like, Linda.
Everybody keeps talking about it. So, welcome to our new format. We're diving into these book club style discussions as we sip and chat about A Bridesmaid for Hire by Meghan Quinn. Stick with us for the next little while as we break down the enchanting details of Bridesmaid for Hire, or maybe disenchanting details, depending on how you felt about this. Things to know before we start. This was released April 2nd, 2024. Tropes: brother's best friend, fake relationship, one bed, vacation fling, close proximity, wedding, and age gap. And it's a destination wedding. Mm-hmm. Did anyone have any micro tropes for this book? Okay. Good talk.
No.
The series, I did find out, if you read at the end of the book, this is the Bridesmaid series. It's book one in the Bridesmaid series. This is a spinoff and features character from her Almond Bay series. And this book is currently a standalone. It is dual first person. Put out percentage was 49% with a toy scene, 67% for PNV. The audio narrators, which I did the audiobook. Did anybody else do the audiobook?
No.
No.
I did the audiobook. It's Aaron Mallon and Jason Clark, and it was done in duet style narration. It is available in Kindle Unlimited, and there is a third act breakup. So before we get into the gist of all this, I do want to talk about the audiobook before we talk about everything else at this book. I was really disappointed in the quality of this audiobook.
That seems to be a theme lately with some of the newer audiobooks, like that, like you can hear the pickups, you can hear the
clicking, like, where they would have spaced
because where the edits were.
Yeah. And I will say, duet style narration is very difficult. It's very difficult. It's very expensive. It is a higher level of tech that is needed by your producer. And I think that after the success of The Butcher and the Blackbird, there's been this push for duet style narration. I don't like it. I like dual. I find it jarring that as I'm listening to the audiobook, all of a sudden there's this random extra voice.
And when it's just two, it doesn't work right. But if it's like a full cast, there's like a whole other element to
full
it.
Full cast or graphic audio, I think, would be different.
Yeah.
This one, I will say, Aaron Mallon really pulls through. Jason Clark cannot deliver a punchline to save his life. Like, comedic timing, not there. Not there.
Which is surprising because I really love his narrations usually.
I like him too. It just, I don't think he's great for rom-com. What book did we listen to? Cherishing the Goddess by Eden, or Lucy Eden. Zach Weber did that one, and he delivered those punchlines. Mm-hmm. It was so good and so funny. This one?
Not so much.
Jason, yeah, not so great. Okay, so let's talk about the setting of this book. Amanda, what were your thoughts on the setting?
I thought it was fun that it was in Bora Bora. I mean, you know, I like a vacation fling kind of, I guess, book. I don't know. I thought it was a fun setting.
I do too. Well,
it's not your typical setting though either. Like, there's not a lot of Bora Bora romance books out there, but it's fun to say.
I actually can think of a couple wedding destination
ones. Well, I'm saying, like, there's a couple, but it's not like, like, there's a lot in Hawaii. There's a lot in, like, Las Vegas. There's a lot, like, there's books there, but it's not like this overrun You know what I meant.
I do.
There's your micro trope, Bora Bora.
Bora
Oh, there you
Bora.
go.
Bora Bora is her micro trope. I
Somebody's
liked
feeling
that
sassy
he
tonight.
worked for the hotel chain and that he was staying at a property owned by the people he worked for. I thought that added a little bit of depth to his character,
Yeah.
which was, you know,
Yeah, but
shallow level.
right, because he's there to get it in.
Yeah, he's there to help his job. So let's talk about Mr. Brody. I do feel like, okay, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, that if you listen to the, if you read the prologue and then you read chapter one, they didn't sound like the same character. Now, granted, the prologue is in the female POV, but the way she describes Brody kind of comes off as this frat boy bro that's just like out for a good time. And then
Yeah.
we get chapter one in his POV. And the whole time I'm listening to it, I just kept thinking, he's destined for middle management. He'll be bald by the time he's 30. And I think he is 30, so.
But he's not bald quite yet. Well, and I think part of it is because, like, but the way that the prologue opens and then goes into the first chapter, like, you're not sure time-wise, like, when the prologue
Yeah.
happened. It's very, like, muddy.
Yeah, we could have done without the prologue.
I
Yeah, I
agree.
agree.
Yeah.
Like, I like a prologue sometimes, but this one just felt like unnecessary.
Yes, and so that's something that was brought up too. So originally, let's talk about why Brody's at this wedding, because I think that like the premise of this book really starts out really well, right? That's a his boss, Daddy Reggie, who owns this chain of hotels. His Daddy Reggie, I'm gonna keep
Just stop
saying it
saying
for
hi.
Jenny.
I'm gonna take my ear things out. We keep saying
It
it.
was really cringy. That whole
I didn't
nickname
like that.
was kind of cringy. But so for Brody's character, he is trying to get a one-up potential in his job. He sort of takes over an invitation, crashes the wedding of his boss's daughter, the owner of the company's daughter, the boss's boss's boss. And he's there, but he doesn't have a hotel room to stay in. He at first is renting a chair from a local, which that's really interesting B&B.
I mean, you do what you have to do when you're when in Bora Bora.
Right. And that I think could have been some funny moments. But he then
Oh,
just
yeah.
invites himself to stay with her, to stay with Maggie, our heroine.
Yeah.
I mean, the bathroom scene was all right, like where he's, I mean, he doesn't have a shower,
Oh,
so
he's like,
the sink in the public restroom has to do.
I felt so bad for that bathroom attendant. Like,
My favorite part of that whole thing is when he leaves and bathrooms attendants like he doesn't like linen suits.
Yeah.
That was funny. So let's just talk about Brody's character and then we'll move on to Maggie's a little bit. Brody is, in my opinion, a beta hero. He is a perfect example of a beta hero.
I
Yeah.
think that's fair. Yeah.
There's hints
Well,
that
and he
he could
has those
be.
like frat boy puppy elements too. Like,
He talks like a boy still. Like, dude, time to grow up.
Yeah. I mean, he's a boob man. We know that. Because how
He
many
is a
times was
boob man.
boobs mentioned in the book?
Chest was way more.
What chest was
Boob
anymore?
was only like 56.
He had some.
What about tit? Did you look up
Oh, I didn't
tit?
look up tit.
Oh.
He did have a lot of
Hold on.
self-doubt. That
I'll
kind
be
of bugged
back.
me a little bit about him.
Okay.
And I think that that's why I didn't say Golden Retriever or Frat Boy Puppy Hero. Instead, I went with Beta because he had so much self-doubt. And I don't feel that his character arc gave us that push towards, like, he built confidence.
I agree.
Like,
Because
even in.
even at the end, he's not
Right.
really any further than he was at the beginning.
Yeah. And
Pit was used a lot, but it comes up in like competitive also, so it does give me a clear number.
clear number. I did feel like some of the immaturity that you're talking about, Jenny, was like he says things like, I took a blow to my peepee. His
Mine was
dick
beat.
did get beat up a lot in this book.
He
His
also
dick.
called his dick his beef stick.
Oh, I don't remember that, but I'm
It
not
was
sad that I
pretty
don't.
early on, and I was like,
I think I blacked
oh
that out.
my. I don't remember that either.
I highlighted it.
This is a newer trend. So this book does break the fourth wall. Brody breaks the fourth wall several times in the book, which we all know how
Maggie
I feel
does
about that.
too.
I hate it.
I didn't like it. It threw me out of the story. Like, because the first couple times I was like, what is going on here? But also, I think it was the way it was formatted too. It was like just there was no like break in the
But even in the
paragraph.
audio, there was no emphasis. Like, it wasn't. And again, I think this is where it comes that Jason Clark didn't do a great job delivering his lines. He refers, so this is a newer trend that we're starting to see where authors in general are bringing in Romancelandia terms and having their characters speak them and internalize them out in the world. And several times in this book, he refers to himself as a cinnamon roll. And I'm like,
Yeah. But he's not.
well, it kind of bugs me when they do that.
Well, because I mean, right now, like cinnamon roll is kind of like a trend. It like goes along with the trending things. Because 5 years ago, cinnamon rolls didn't exist. I mean, they did, but they didn't have a term.
Right.
Like
The term's new since 2020, I
in
think.
5 years, like there might be a new term. Like I don't like when trendy things are like a big emphasis in a book. And I feel like there was a decent amount of that in this.
So let's talk about Maggie. What were your thoughts on her as a character, Amanda? No, be honest.
Well, I mean, there were times where I liked her, especially, kind of like how she went after things for her job and for her company, her business and stuff like that. But I don't know. She was also just very kind of annoying. And I don't like, and I can't put my finger on exactly why. Because I didn't hate her or anything, but there was just something in the way she interacted that bothered me. And like I said, I still can't quite like voice what it is.
I found her to be a pick me girl.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Desperate to be at the popular table, wants to wear the cool kids' clothes, but also the way that she's described, it talks about her being kind of quirky and fun and a little off the beaten path, which doesn't collate to the pick me vibes that we get as we read her.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good description, and that's probably why I was so confused. I was like, there's parts of this that I like, and then I'm just like, but wait, like something's throwing me off. So.
And I'll be honest, we all know that I'm not a huge Meghan Quinn fan. And part of it is I feel like her heroines are really rinse and repeat. So I read Boss Man Bridegroom. I read the Bad Boy Baseball one, and I read the first one in the Meet Cute series. And they're all kind of supposed to be these quirky, fun girls, but they all have that kind of like, but I want to do something to get ahead vibe. And it's not that I don't like books with successful women. That's not it. It's just that I feel like the characters are inconsistent.
Well, and like with Maggie, like she's the way she comes off is very driven, but at the same time, like she's very like not confident. Like she doesn't have the self-confidence. Like she has this drive and wants to be really successful, but she's not confident in the way she's doing it. And it like that's a juxtaposition for like if you're that self, like if you're that driven and that motivated and that much of a workaholic, you would not, I mean, you might have those fears because like this is your business, but at the same rate, like it's not going to be so much.
Yeah.
Right. Like at the big when you're first introduced to her, you like have this ideal or image that she's super successful, never takes a break. Like this is her break for herself. But then further into the book, like she gets denied a couple jobs, and it kind of seems like, aren't you like the best of the best?
Right. When you first read about her, she's like the up and coming bridal planner, but then all of a sudden she's losing business to the hotels or the on staff event planners.
And that's the thing. I just there's such an inconsistency with the way the characters are described and then their actions throughout the book.
And I know, Amanda, you DNF'd at 50%. Did
I
you,
did.
up until 50%, did you have a fun scene that you really liked? Did you make it to the family games?
I did. I stopped right after the spearfishing incident.
Oh, where he took a
So,
blow to his pee-pee
yeah.
with Daddy
Yeah.
Reggie.
Yeah, Daddy Reggie, you know, almost got him in the junk with the spear gun.
It
I
was.
didn't
I did enjoy the family games.
I did enjoy the family games. I mean, his dick took a beating, and I was laughing. Like, I
I
was
enjoyed
laughing.
the family games, but I like it annoyed me like how annoyed that he was getting with her, and they just had this whole like juvenile kind of like pull my hair
Siblings.
blame game or whatever. I don't know. I was just like, okay,
They
because it
did
could have been
come.
fun, but I didn't like how that went down.
I agree with you, Jenny. They did kind of come off as times as more like siblings than romantic attraction. And I think that's something else that I think if we had had more Easter eggs that Reggie the boss, I will not call him the other name. I feel like if we had had more insight to his manipulations mixed in with a little bit more chemistry, the whining wouldn't have felt sibling. It would have felt more like, we're working as a team here. I'm tired of everything getting in our way. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does.
Well, that there was like there was no commonality between the two of them. Like they both have like their own like reasoning for being there, and that's fine. But it's like if you're gonna do this, like you need to work together. But like they fought about everything, and like and that was my thing partly with him though too, is like in the prologue we like learn about how he like toured the world of like baseball stadiums for hot dogs. And it's like he seems like this really like fun guy who doesn't take a lot of things seriously. But then you're in this moment where
Right.
they're ridiculous games that are like meant to be fun, and he's a grump during
Yeah,
them.
he's embarrassed by everything. Like, she tells the like rituals they have. Because it's a brother's best friend. So her brother and him like have rituals for baseball games, and he.
But she kind of shames him a little bit. Like,
I don't think she does though, because it's one of those things where she's like, my brother and his best friend like have these crazy things that they do, and it's like, no joke. Like if my brother did things like that, I would totally like throw him under the bus and tell people. And so it's one of those things where I don't think it's her shaming him. It's just like her being like excited to share something personal, and he got so frustrated about it because, I know lots of people who are like very into sports, and they talk about how they can't wash this shirt or they have to wear these specific underwear outside, like inside out, because they accidentally wore them that way once. And so the rest of the season, like that is how they wear them until a loss happens. So it's like most
Yeah.
people are like proud of their quirks when it comes to stuff like that.
I'm sure Linda has some.
Oh, I'm sure Linda has some.
Also, so did you like, for those that read Megan Quinn, which I don't think we're the group that does, did you like the little visits to the other characters from the baseball, because we got the macaroni salad or potato salad recipe, and references to the Chicago Rebels team and stuff.
I think she did a good job with bringing the other characters in, because like even if you hadn't read those previous books, like you understood the references, but you didn't have to read the books in order to do that. And like I haven't read a lot of Megan Quinn recently. Like I like her older stuff a lot better. But she I enjoy those little pieces because she pulls you into those characters and like those little elements that it makes you curious about those books.
So before we move on to like towards the end and what happens in the end and if the grovel was enough, one of the things that I noticed a lot in this book is Megan Quinn's writing style from character to character changes. So, such as when setting the scene, Brody's character was overly descriptive. Like, I copied it. They're sitting on a beach and they're talking about being seated at the white sandy beach overlooking the private lagoon, glittering with turquoise water. I don't know a lot of dudes that talk like that. But we also, that's not a narrative that we get from Maggie ever. Like, she doesn't go into, like, the bride's gown or the flowers. Everything's really kind of...
But you would think that she would.
You would think it would be the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. Or that the writing style would be overly descriptive consistently. And this is not a short book.
No, it's not. It's a beefy book.
It's a beefy book. So I felt like there was some inconsistencies in writing.
Well, but I think it goes to the inconsistency of the characters, too. Like, if those descriptives and descriptors came from Maggie's point of view, like, as the wedding planner and who, like, is, like, a really big attention to detail type of person, I don't think it would have been as obvious.
Yeah, that makes sense. It would be part of her personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, I think one of the funniest scenes was the snake freakout scene with the brush of the branch. I did laugh. Like,
I would live that, honestly. That would be me.
Like, really, the dude, like, pretty much peed his pants, passed out. And
I mean, I picked up a stone once, and there was a snake underneath of it in my yard, and I screamed and ran away.
Oh, my God.
So
I did think that was pretty funny. So let's talk about the end. Basically, it comes out at the end of this book that Daddy Reggie figured out why Brody was at the wedding, that he was crashing and he was trying to get ahead. And Reggie had a kind of grudge against him because of the connection to the bride who Brody had worked with as interns. They had worked together as interns, and he encouraged her to live her dreams and not the dreams her father wanted for her.
Right.
So come to find out, all this stuff was happening to Brody kind of as a way for her dad to seek revenge.
Yeah.
Which.
You're a billionaire.
Would a billionaire hold that big of a grudge?
I mean, he seems like a pretty big douchebag, so probably.
Okay.
But...
Okay.
I don't think the money you have in your like bank account creates like less. Your douchiness.
I just feel like the douchiness would have been different.
Yeah, because the way that he went about getting the information from Brody,
this is true,
was so wrong.
Oh yeah,
like that's just
I
dirty.
Just didn't like him at all.
Yeah, he was not redeemable, and his wife was like. For Mother of the Bride, they're supposed to be wealthy, and then there seem to be all these errors, all these things happening.
But they own the place, too, which that was, like, something else.
And you're in Bora Bora.
And they're the only people there, right?
Right, like, he rented out, yeah. You couldn't get flowers?
Yeah, it didn't match the billionaire status. And, like, the way that he goes about things is very... something.
Do you think there were enough Easter eggs in the beginning throughout the book to the end to see the conflict coming with how Reggie was going to turn on Brody? Did you see that coming? Or do you feel like she got to a point in writing and she thought, oh, crap, I need a dark moment that's going to blow things up. What can I do?
You don't really know much about him. Like, you know, like, the people refer to him as Daddy Reggie. And, like, you know that he's kind of, like, a hard person to work for. But aside from that, like, you don't really get anything.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of his character throughout the book in a way that...
Would lead you to believe he'd be this
vindictive? Would lead you to believe that he's, like, the bad guy here.
Sorry. Amanda,
maybe...
No. I was going to say I didn't know what happened because I didn't read ahead.
You only made it to 50, but yeah. So at your 50%, did you think that Reggie was going to be the villain of this book?
No, I did not. Okay. I thought they were going to have some kind of internal conflict between the two of them. I thought that was going to be what you guys were going to tell me happened.
Okay.
I had no idea he was going to be a villain.
Jenny, what about what you're going to say?
What's the bride's name? Do we have her book? Like,
Hale,
maybe
no,
if
she
you
doesn't
read.
have a book.
Oh, okay. So never mind. Because she has had a falling out with her dad in the past.
She
And this is
does.
kind of like the reconciliation, like
Okay, well, let's
They're
talk about
trying to
that real
rebuild their
quick.
relationship.
Because we talked about descriptive narrative, so I want to talk about this real quick. So this is the cover of the book, right? This is the bride, not the heroine. She has brown hair, right? Brown hair.
We don't know what color the
We
heroine's
do
is.
not know the color of the heroine's hair. We know she has brown eyes. We know she has big boobs. We know the hair is wavy. And I will tell you, through this paperback, if you're a paperback collector, this is beautiful. It has these really pretty character art pages. Really pretty. Now, are these in the Kindle version? No.
No.
So, I mean, there's really beautiful character art. And I like how Megan Quinn did that because we don't always get this. Authors put all this money into character art and
But it's
illustrations.
typically only in the paperbacks.
And we don't even get it sometimes. You know, you have to just buy it off their stuff. I like that this was put in the physical book, but we do not know her hair color.
Red mean thing.
And we've searched. We searched brunette, brown, blonde, black.
I did red too.
And you did
And
red.
auburn. I did auburn also.
I did
Thank you.
strawberry to see if like strawberry blonde or like strawberry color came up. But
Yeah, because I just randomly asked everybody.
I like to do my searches in my books.
So, okay, Sue brings up a really interesting point. The brothers just like him, or the brothers just let Reggie humiliate Brody. And
Yeah.
Sue didn't like that. I felt like they had no backbone. And again, they have books down the line. So are you invested in those characters to
Not
read the
really,
next
'cause
book?
they just sat there and let it happen.
Right.
Like they could have taken the moonshine away.
They could have. Well, they could have stepped in too at some point.
But even so, it's like they could have said he doesn't need to drink it. It's like also
You're an adult.
you're an adult, you don't have to actually drink it. You can say I don't want that
Or spill it.
or
So
spill it.
Reggie, because I don't want to just trash this book, but Reggie makes the decision to tell Brody he is not welcome at the wedding the next day after this big blow up. He's also fired. His idea doesn't exist for the company. He needs to exit the island immediately and leave. And Maggie continues on with her role as bridesmaid. She completes the bride, she goes the wedding, she goes home. And Brody has,
A breakdown.
for 30 days, he lives on his best friend's couch, which is her brother. And I felt
And
like
won't
that was
stop.
like a really long, mopey moment. I
But
think
it
it hurt
just,
the pacing of the book.
I think it hurt the pacing of the book. I don't think it should have been as long as it was, but I liked the way it happened. I thought the fact that he realized that like this is like his person. Like he's finally acknowledged this is his person, and like he screwed up because one, he was a dumbass, like after the first time it had, like they kissed and he decided that he like was that was too much for him. But I liked the fact that he basically was told like you need to get out because he just it was like a culmination of like all this chaos that like showed him that like you are not like okay in these moments.
So in Maggie, oh, go ahead, Jen.
I highlighted something from Brody's point of view that I think like describes him to a T. Because it's better to lose out on an opportunity for something great than risk everything you already have.
Yeah, he wasn't willing to risk. So for Maggie's character arc, so we get it. She's a pick me. She's kind of supposed to be quirky. She's really into weddings. She's a girl's girl. And you would say that going in 50%, right, Amanda? That she's like girl's girl. So when Daddy Reggie gives her the ultimatum that she needs to turn her ideas towards the company and the hotels the company owns and give up her dreams of her business, or he's going to put Maggie out of business. And Maggie actually contemplates it for a minute. Like, she actually has to talk herself out of, like, not saying something. How did you feel about that?
Well, because he's trying to use it as blackmail to get
The daughter back
his
in the
daughter
company.
back, right?
Right. Yeah, and Maggie has to
Think about it.
has to think about it. Like, she's just not like, no.
Amanda's like, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking
No,
about.
it doesn't sound like that was something she would do where I got to in the book. I'm just so it sounds like,
She was
well, and
so
she,
funny and
right.
fierce with the
And yeah.
brothers.
Like, and she was so ride or die, like with
Yeah.
people that she cared about, like her best friend, like she,
And
in
she
like a,
puts herself in line to help with this wedding for strangers virtually.
yeah. And it's like she's such a, like, she wants to make people happy, but like if she cares about you, like she will like do anything, but then she contemplates it. And like the fact that Maggie was like so like ride or die, like I said, like that was one thing I really liked about her character. Like I thought that that was a great like piece of her story, but then again, we got like that disconnect. And that was like one of my big things with this book. There's just disconnects throughout it all. Like, I think the story could have been really great.
And I think the characters just had a lot of inconsistencies throughout the story. It wasn't, we didn't get a like overarching character arc. It was like the character arc happened in the moment. They weren't the same. They started one way, and at the end of the scene, they weren't the same after. And like their growth was kind of circular
Circular.
versus, you know, an arc. Okay, so, one of the things that we are now doing with these episodes is we are going to, first of all, we are going to not rate the book, but we're just going to tell you whether or not we give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. You can interpret that however you wish, but it's just like, for me, was this a thumbs up book or a thumbs down book? And then we're going to give you some book suggestions that you might consider trying if you liked this book or you want something maybe a little better. depending on how you feel about the book. So, first of all, we're going to go around and do our thumbs up, thumbs down. Amanda, I think we know your answer, given that you DNF'd at 50%. Is this a thumbs up or a thumbs down for you?
It's a thumbs down for me. And I didn't pick anything like it because I didn't finish it, so I didn't know how it ended. So
That's okay.
sorry.
That's okay.
That is fair.
Jenny, are you a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I am also a thumbs down.
Okay. Leah, are you a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Thumbs down.
Yeah, and I'm a thumbs down. I'm a thumb sideways for a little bit of it because I love Destination Wedding. I love like that close proximity.
There really are some really great parts of the
There are.
story. Like, there's some really funny parts. There's some really nice moments, but overall,
Yeah.
it's a thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
And the Reggie storyline could have been foreshadowed a little more and made, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so do you have any book suggestions? If somebody really loved this book or would like to try a different destination wedding styled book, do you have a couple suggestions? If not, I do.
I
You
don't have
do.
any suggestions tonight.
I have one that like a destination boss employee.
Okay, what you got?
Boss me. It's part of the Synergy Office romance series by Michelle McCraw, and it's male-male, but the boss goes away and then his assistant needs to go basically pick him up and get him back.
Okay. I made a little list. So actually, The Wedding Date Disaster by Avery Flynn is a really great example
Oh,
of a
that is a good
destination
one.
wedding and sibling's best friend or best friend's sibling. Swoon by Lauren Rowe. It's a wedding. It's not a destination, but it's also sibling's best friend. 4 Day Fling by Emma Hart. If you've not read this book, I talk about it all the time. read this book. It's so funny. It is in Kindle Unlimited. And I think it's Listen and Read.
I think it might be.
Making His Play by Mary Carr. It's a Vegas wedding.
That's a good one.
And it's also Sibling's Best Friend. The Worst Wedding Date by Pippa Grant. And in the past, I've been fairly critical of Pippa Grant's rom-coms, but I actually really liked this book and I picked up the second book. Like, I really enjoyed this book. And again, it's best friend's sibling. Best friend's sibling, destination wedding, ends with the bride running away and she is the matron of honor. It was really, really funny. And Game Changer by Kelly Jameson is another one that's really good.
Because it's Kelly Jameson and weddings.
Yeah, I was like, because it's a wedding.
Because it's a wedding and it's Kelly Jameson. Hooking Up by Helena Hunting. She's a runaway bride and they go to Bora Bora to his family's hotel. And they're on the plane together. So that's another really good one. So that concludes this first episode of
Sip and Discuss.
Sip and Discuss. Thank you so much for joining us to this lively discussion of Meghan Quinn's Bridesmaid for Hire, from irresistible allure of the brother's best friend trope to the tantalizing tension of a fake relationship. This book has us buzzing with excitement. Or not. Stay tuned for our next episode next Wednesday as we dive into A Taste of Whiskey by Melissa Foster. You can find a full list of upcoming titles for these episodes over on our website at buzzingaboutromance.com. Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at buzzingaboutromance or on Twitter at buzzingromance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.